Blog Talk Radio.
One-way negotiation. I don't know what happened in real life,
But Messiah himself and the Most High negotiated this contract. And the Most High makes some promises to the bride, and he asks some conditions of the bride. But the bride never makes a demand. And so it got me to wondering concerning this. If we look at this from that standpoint, then the bride herself in this negotiation, the negotiation would have been between father and father. You know, the bridegroom's father for the bride with the bride's father. This negotiation. Since the Most High is our father, he's basically saying what he wants, how he wants the marriage to look. And what, from a standpoint of Messiah, what Messiah requires and what he wants and then what he's going to give. But it's the requirement of the bride. I don't see any demands in there that the bride actually makes herself. And so it's a completely change of, you know, something that I have to continue to look into. But we want to look at what's in the scriptures, you know, because I can't say in the earthly contract what the bride would promise or what she could demand, because I don't see anywhere in the scriptures with the Most High that he allows the bride to demand anything. He's telling his church what he wants, telling his bride what he wants and what he's going to do. And it looks like he either accepts the conditions or she doesn't. That's where it stands right now. But I wanted to go into those particular, you know, those particular areas, because as we look at marriage and we look at what the Most High says about marriage and his marriage to his church, you know, all those aspects of it, you know, I just want to know what's in the word concerning this. So I'm going to ask you to bear with me and walk through this with me as we do. I won't say that this will be a thorough job, because I'm sure I'm going to have to revisit it again and again until the Most High makes all these things clear. And I, you know, have the duties and responsibilities of both sides. And so as we begin to go through this, and we'll go through the scriptures as well, and then I may find other scriptures that apply to a certain phase, and I may have to bring them out later, or the Most High may bring them to my remembrance so that I can include them. But the goal is to establish a sound doctrine on the new covenant and the wedding process. And then from there, I pray that the Most High gives us understanding as to his timing, when he plans to do things, not to the exact time of Messiah's return, but that we can know what has happened, what phase we're in, and how to. So I know that, you know, there are a lot of thoughts out there concerning this. I've never been one to actually take someone else's opinion in the scriptures. I more so will read some opinions, see what they're thinking, but I typically will have to, you know, flesh this out for myself with the Most High. And so this is this attempt to do this because of learning that this is based upon the Galilean wedding ceremony. And what he's saying in the ceremony, I can see all the aspects of the ceremony in the scriptures. And so we want to be able to walk through this and be sound in doctrine and then in timing and then identifying, you know, the servant, the bride, the bridegroom, the guest, all the elements of this wedding, because in it is where we find our true salvation as far as what the Most High has planned and why we should, you know, be faithful to him, why we should keep his commandments. And so this is what we're going to endeavor to do in this series. Can't say that I have everything down pat yet. And so if you have questions or you have answers for any of this, we're going to be looking at the contract first. And that's what the new covenant is and what the Most High said that he would do as part of this new covenant. But then the contract typically would have had to been negotiated. But Messiah brings the terms of the contract. And he explains some things. So we want to look into that because the bride, as far as I can see, the bride doesn't get a position to negotiate in this. And so we're either going to be accepting the Most High or we're going to be rejecting him. That's the only conditions that I see. But, you know, without getting into it further at this point, let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be in North America or South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc country. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. You may have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 18, verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on today. We thank you, Yah, and we bow down and we worship you. And we worship you and we worship you. For you are glorious and you are marvelous. And you are majestic upon majestic. You are glory upon glory, Father. And there is none like you. No, not one. Our thoughts are not your thoughts, and our ways are not your ways, Father. And so we endeavor to become more like you, Father, each and every day. Give us understanding that we might do thy will. Hallelujah to you, O Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let us get I want to get one verse tonight for our scripture reading. John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar. Thank you.
How could I describe a time that's indescribable? How could I explain a love that's now that we're here, here in your presence, we're waiting to hear from you. Now that we're here, here in your presence, humbly we bow, speak to us now. Now that we're here in your presence, we're waiting to hear from you. Now that we're fill us up and send us out. Fill us up and send us out, babe. I don't want to get to heaven with my life on full of vision, unrealized, full of dreams, unrealized, with no strategy given, full of songs, full of businesses that could have changed the world, but I held on to it because I got comfortable and I got complacent. But when I get to heaven, I want to hear him tell, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear, because I know that I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. So I say this, I want to live a life poured out. 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 Come on, do you agree? Say, we are God's change agents in the earth. Come on, say. Say, we can change the world. Come on, say.
We can change the world.
I want you to get this in your heart tonight.
We can change the world.
You can do it. You can do it.
We can change the world.
This is the generation.
We can change the world.
We're not powerless.
We can change
We're not without authority. But we're his agents in the earth. Come on, say, we can change.
We can change the world.
We are the generation. Change is not going to happen if we don't do it. If nothing changes with us, nothing changes. That's why God said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. When we get this, the world will change. See, we bought into the mentality that the majority rules, that we can't do anything by ourselves. But we don't live in a democracy, we live in the kingdom. God and us are the majority. Come on, say this. Say, we can change the world. Do you believe? I believe this. I believe this. If I didn't believe this, why would I be standing up here? There's no reason to keep coming week after week after week and hearing the same thing over and over if we don't believe that what we get on the inside of us can change the world. If we don't believe it, we should stop coming. One more time. We can change the world. Come on, can you sing it?
Amen. All right, we want to go ahead and proceed into this. Again, this is the new covenant, and the new covenant is the new marriage contract, okay? And so we're going to go first and find out what the Most High said concerning this contract and who it was with, and then how he's going to add in to this body, okay? So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and 31. This is the promise of the new covenant, the new contract, okay? Jeremiah chapter 31 and 31. And we are going to be starting in verse 31. I'm going to read a couple of verses from here. This is where the initial promise was given to Israel. Not to the world, but to Israel, okay? And now the Most High said that he would include the Gentile nations into this. But as I was thinking about this, the Most High is not expecting the Gentile nations to come in with all full knowledge of his laws, so he makes provisions for that. Yet and still, they are going to be required to keep them. Okay. So, Jeremiah 31 and 31. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This is a very specific covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my law in their inward part. Underline that, because this is the covenant. This is the contract. I'm going to write my laws in your inward parts and write them in your heart. And we will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. So this is the first promise. Now let's go to the New Testament and see did he change anything. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. The book of Hebrews chapter 8. And we're going to be getting verses starting in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 8, starting in verse 8. For if the first covenant, which he made with them at Sinai, had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, Israel, he says, behold, the days come, it says, Yah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, not in my contract, and I regarded them not, saith Yah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. So this is the contract. I'm going to, the new covenant that he's making with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, he's going to write his laws into their mind and into their heart. Because the first covenant, they didn't keep it. They didn't keep his laws. They didn't keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances. But some of the ordinances he did away with, like animal sacrifice for sin. And he says, now I'm tearing down the temple, and until I rebuild the new stone temple, you're not going to be able to make any sacrifices to me of animals. When the third temple comes, he's going to reinstitute the animal sacrifice. But just know, we don't do that today. And we especially don't do it for sin, because Messiah took that place. He paid that price. But we got to understand that the covenant is with Israel. Now, the Most High says that he's going to take out of the Gentiles, the other nations, a people for his name as well. He's just not expecting them to know everything from the start, but they're eventually going to be expected to keep the commandments, not to say that they don't, you know, that they don't apply to them. So he's looking for those Gentiles that also understand that, to come into this marriage. Okay, so the first step in this covenant was that the bridegroom would come to the father of the bride, her father, and her, and he would offer, he would make his proposal for marriage, okay? And then his father and the bridegroom and her father would sit down and hash out the contract. Now, in this bit, I don't see where the bride has any say in this matter. And so I want to go to a verse, Galatians chapter 3, verse 20. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20. This also gives a new meaning to this verse. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Elohim is one. Think about that. If the Most High, from the position of Father, is going to negotiate the contract for his son, but they are one and the same being, then he's negotiating from both sides of the table. The bride really doesn't have anything in this. Didn't have a say in this. So we don't see, we're not going to find anywhere where the bride makes any demand. The Most High presents his case. And he says, I'm going to pay for my bride. I'm going to pay a bridal price, a dowry. That dowry that he pays for his wife is with his life, okay? So, let me see if this is the verse I want. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to come back to this. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20. And we're going to get verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of Elohim, which he has purchased with his own blood. So he paid the bride price, the bride dowry, with his life. I'm going to give her my all. I'm going to give her my life. No greater love has any man in this that he laid down his life for a friend. In this case, the Most High laid down his life for his bride. Okay? Gave his own blood. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 now. Because he's negotiating this contract. And these are the terms of the contract. We're going to look into this bit by bit. And as I said, I may not have this all 100% together. Some of these things I may have to come back and repeat. As Most High shows it to me, but bear with me, and please follow along. If you see something where I make an error, trust me, point it out. I don't want to be in error. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of Elohim, and you are not your own? Remember, you were purchased by his blood. For you are bought with a price. He paid the bride dowry with his own life. And so he's going to make some demands and some things that he's going to do and give to his wife. Now he's going to ask some things of the wife, okay, that he wants from the wife. But he's going to say what he's going to do for his wife, okay? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Elohim. We belong to him. We were bought with a price. Now, when we accept salvation from him, we're agreeing to enter into this contract with him. And he's asking all men, all mankind, starting with Israel, but all mankind, to repent. In other words, admit that you have transgressed. You have offended me. You have mistreated me. You have not obeyed me. That's why it's first to Israel. Because he didn't introduce himself to the rest of the world. So Israel has to repent and turn away from their wicked ways and admit that they weren't obedient in the first contract. Now, the Gentile nations are being grafted into this contract. And so he says, and for you, what I want you to do is stop serving your other Elohim. Stop serving your other gods. Don't drink any blood. Don't consume any blood. Don't strangle your animals when you kill them. And stay away from sex outside of marriage. And if you do that, then you do well. And then he expects that the Gentile nations will learn his statutes, his commandments, his laws, his ordinances, his judgments, week by week, as they are taught in the synagogue, as they're supposed to be being taught in the churches. But the churches aren't teaching the Gentile nations to obey the commandments of the Most High. They're making up their own. They're making up their own doctrines. They're making up their own traditions and passing them off as the commandments of the Most High, passing them off as meeting the requirement of the covenant. But the Most High says, in this new covenant, this new contract, I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind. I don't want you making up any new ones that suit your needs. So this is what he's requiring from the bride. I'm going to write my laws in your heart that you might do them, and in your heart and in your mind. So let's look at this thing a little bit more. And let me pull up my notes. So part of one of the first requirements of the new covenant is that the Most High said that he was going to write his laws into his bride's heart and in her mind. What's the second thing he said? Go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34. And the word of the Most High reads, Jeremiah 31 and 34. And the word of the Most High reads, no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother saying, no, yeah, I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind. You want to know the Most High? You want to know how he is? Then you got to know what he wants. I want you to obey me. I want you to keep my commandments. I want you to keep my laws. And then you'll know me. You'll know what I expect. You'll know what I want and what I don't want. For they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith Yah, and I will forgive their iniquity. So he says, I'm going to write my laws in your mind and in your heart as a condition of this new covenant, and I'm going to forgive your iniquity. Because I'm going to teach you what I want. And I'm going to write it in your heart and in your mind. This is what I want. This is what I expect. This is the behavior that I want from my bride. And I will forgive their iniquity, their lawlessness, and I will remember their sin no more. So I'm going to write this in your heart that you'll do it. And then I won't remember your iniquity. I'm going to forgive your iniquity. And I expect that you will obey, that you will be in obedience. Third thing he promises in the contract, that he's going to give his spirit. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. And this is the promise, and this is what he says he's going to do with his bride. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. And let me put on my glasses. And let's get starting verse 26 and 27. Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26 and 27. A new heart also will I give to you, and a new spirit. He's going to give us his heart. His heart is what he expects, spirit. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you. And I will put, a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. So I'm going to write this in your heart. I'm going to write it in your mind. I'm going to give you my spirit that you will keep my steps, that you will walk in them and keep my judgments and do them. This is what he's looking for. I'm going to, when I give you my spirit, then I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes. I'm going to cause you to keep my judgments and to do them, to keep my commandments. I'm going to write those in your heart that you might do them. And you're going to be able to do it because he's going to give you his spirit and his heart. Here's my spirit to help you out and to bring you into remembrance. Here's the comforter. I'll come to you and I'll comfort you. I'll tell you what you need to do, but you need to listen to that voice. And I'll give you a heart to obey me, keep my judgments and to keep my statutes, keep my commandments and do them. Then I'm going to give you a heart, faith that you can believe. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is part of the covenant. This is what I'm going to do for you. the bride. I'm going to write my laws in your heart. I'm going to forgive your sins. I'm going to give you my spirit that you might obey me, that you might do my will, keep my statutes, keep my judgments, keep my law, and do them. So faith. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. And let's get verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So he's saying this is what he's going to do for his bride. For by grace, he's saying, you ain't got to do nothing for this. You can't be good enough for this. So you have to accept the work that he did, that Messiah came and did and died for our sins. He paid the price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. He says, and if you accept the gift of salvation, then you have been purchased by his blood. This is the price I'm willing to pay for you, my life. For by grace are you saved through faith. You got to believe that he came and that he did that. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of Elohim, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, I don't need Messiah to die for me. I can keep every command perfectly. I'm not a sinner. He says, if you say that, then you're a liar. Because he created you where you were conceived in iniquity. Just the very sex act itself and your conception was sin. So all have sinned and fallen short. That's why he took the man out of the birth of Messiah. And Mary had to be impregnated in a miraculous way by the Ruach HaKodesh. Took the man out of the way, took the sex act out of the way. So now it's not an unclean act. Here's a woman who was pregnant by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and not by a man. So Messiah was born without sin, and he sinned not. But every other man and woman that came into this world were, besides Adam and Eve, were conceived in an act that the Most High said was unclean and that it was sin. So nobody can get around saying that they hadn't sinned. So it's not of your work, how good you are, how lawful you are. You can't get out of that sin, out of that condition of sin, but by through Messiah. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which Elohim has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are saved by faith in him. If you believe in him, then you're going to do what he said to do. Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You hear that, you have faith. You do what he says to do. And then he tells you that you are to repent. Acknowledge that you are a sinner and turn away from it. So the Most High says that I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind that you might do them. My judgment, my statutes, my commandments, my ordinances, that you might do them, that you'll keep my law. That's why Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's part that was the problem with the old covenant. Israel didn't keep it because they didn't keep the commandments. They broke them. They transgressed. And the Most High says, you know what? I don't love you anymore. I'm not regarding you, respecting you anymore because you don't obey. So but he regarded them not. But he says, you know, I'm gonna come and get my wife back. And he had to do this. You know, I did this lesson as to how he could take Israel back, because all relationships end at death. The Most High can't die from the standpoint of God. But if he takes on flesh and comes as the Son of Man, then he can die. His body can die. And that will allow him, that ends the relationship with Israel as his wife. Because when Israel fornicated and sinned against the Most High and took another husband by worshiping other gods, by his own law, he could not take her back. Oh, you done went and laid with another one. You done went and married somebody else. Can't come back to me. I can't break my own law and take you back. But all relationships end at death. So he comes and he undoes. He circumvents his own law. I'm going to end this relationship. Now I can take you back to me. Because all relationships end at death. When a woman's husband dies, that relationship is over. She's free to remarry. Now, if her husband came back from the dead, she would be free to remarry him, even though under the law, she couldn't go back to him. But he died. And that relationship ended. But somehow he came back to life. She could take him back again. And this is what the Most High did. So part of this negotiating of this contract, the Most High says, I'm going to save you from your sins. I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to write my laws in your heart. I'm going to forgive your sins that you might belong to me again. So some of the conditions, other conditions in this covenant. In Hebrews 9 and 15, the word says we have to have faith in him. Have faith. You got to believe in me as your husband. You got to believe that I'm going to provide and take care of you. Okay. So let's go to Hebrews 9 and 15. Because this is what is in the contract. The book of Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 15. The mediator of the New Testament, the New Covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, under the First Covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I'm going to give you an eternal life. At peace with me, because the truth of the matter is everybody's going to get eternal life. But we're going to have an inheritance that is in the Most High and be at peace with him and what he did, that he is the mediator of the new covenant. And he's telling you what you need to do to enter into marriage, repentance. Go to Acts 2:38. So this is what the bride has to have. She has to have faith in him. She has to repent of her wicked ways, of her sinful ways. Acts 2:38. Now, he's setting all these conditions down. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for the remission, the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as Yah Elohim shall call. So, he wants his future bride to understand that she has been at odds with him that she has not walked according to his laws, his rules, and that she needs to repent of it and turn away from it, and he will forgive her. But she can't continually do that. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I fell again. No, that's not part of his contract. Now, she has to be baptized into his name. Part of that contract is you got to enter into this contract through the baptism. And the baptism is going to symbolize you dying to your old life and being buried, that you might come up a new creature, a new creation. So let's go to Romans chapter 6. The book of Romans chapter 6. And this is what the bride has to do in order to enter into this covenant, this new contract. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Know you not that so many as were baptized into Yeshua HaMashiach were baptized into his death? That's what you're being baptized into. The scripture asks me, don't you know that? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Supposed to die to your old ways. He said, now, if you can do this, if you can die to your old ways, then you're going to come up a new creature. People have to identify what their old ways are before they know what they have to die to. If you don't recognize, if you're a fornicator and you don't recognize that you're a fornicator, because you were taught that, hey, this is natural, I'm supposed to run around and chase women, then you ain't going to see nothing wrong with it. If you grew up in a family of thieves, and that's what they did, they're not going to teach you that stealing is wrong. If you have a parent that is always saying, look and see what everybody else got, that's what I want. They're not going to teach you not to covet. If you got somebody that is not to honor their mother and their father, the child will grow up cussing the mother or the father out, even going as far as hitting them or cursing them, because their parent allowed it. They probably did it with their parents. So when their child does it, you know, who am I to say anything? I think they got a right to speak their mind. The Most High says, no. So when we realize that, you know, what our sins are based upon what the bridegroom wants. I don't want a bride that does these things. I don't want a bride that will lay down with every man. I don't want a bride that has a picture of another man in her wallet or in her purse. And will, you know, be swooning over him and will lie down and bow to him and submit to him, but won't submit to her own husband, who will show adoration to another man, who will take his name in vain. You married me and you took my name in vain for nothing. You made it worthless because you didn't obey me. You had your own ideals of what was right and what was wrong. You had your own ideals which you wanted to get out of this marriage. And so you didn't really agree with my terms. You accepted and then you didn't keep it. This is what Israel did. So in the New Testament, he says, I'm going to write them in your heart and in your mind. And you can't have an excuse that I'm going to write these things in your heart and in your mind that you would do. And that you wouldn't take his name in vain. Because, see, a lot of people don't realize that those first four commandments are actually part of the wedding contract. You shall not have any other Elohim before me. You shall not make any graven image, molten images of anything in the heavens or in the earth or under the earth or in the water, and bow down to them. Don't make anything worship anything over me. Don't bow yourself down to them. And then don't marry me and take my name in vain. So that commandment, you know, people tell me, oh, you can't say GD. No, that's not what that's about. It's all about relationship. And he didn't get rid of those. He didn't get rid of those aspects in the new covenant. He didn't get rid of those. So I want you to do those things. Let's go to Exodus. Chapter 20, right in verse 1, because he didn't get rid of these. And I'm just going to sort of make them, human. I'm going to humanize these and understand what he's saying. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other God before me. You shall have no other man before me. Humanize it. You shall not have any other man before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. You shall not have any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. So you're not going to have a picture of another man in your wallet. And you're not going to bow down or lay down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, that do what I say do. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of Yah, thy Elohim, in vain. You shall not marry me and take my name in vain. Say you belong to me and then don't obey me. Say you my wife and you're in a relationship with me, but you don't do my commandments. You don't do what I say do. For Yah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Take his name as worthless. Y'all don't do nothing for me. I'm gonna go search out this other God over here. If Yah was Elohim, he wouldn't be like this and he wouldn't be like that. I don't believe that he'll do this. I don't believe that he'll do that. What does he say he will do? What does he show us he will do? Terrible. I do terrible things. So you need to obey me. Okay, so these are part of the covenant. Part of the covenant. You're going to remember who he is and what he's already done. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Why? 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, thy Elohim. The seventh day is a special day to your husband. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. Why? For in 6 days I made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This is what he expects as part of the marriage contract. I'm going to write this stuff in your heart and in your mind. So when the church says, hey, we ain't up under the law, it's full of caca. And anybody that believes that the laws of the Old Testament don't apply, he said in the Old Testament, a new covenant I'm going to give you. To Israel, I'm going to write my laws that I've already given you. I'm going to write my commandments that I've already given you. in your heart and in your mind, that you might do them and keep my judgment. Honor thy father and thy mother, the commandment, that thy days may be long upon the land, which God thy Elohim giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Really should say thou shalt not murder. Because most I don't want us taking innocent life. Somebody breaks in on you, they're threatening your life, you can kill them. And it'll be justified. But if you take a life unrighteously, innocent life, then most I says, then you'll be put to death, a life for a life. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Not going to have sex with somebody that's married and you're not married to them. That's adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Take something that don't belong to you. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Want nothing your neighbor has, servant or his maidservant, nor his oxen, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. This is the first condition. But then he continues to add to this. Because see, people think they only have to keep the Ten Commandments and nothing else. But the Most High kept giving them laws, statutes, and commandments, and ordinances. The church wants to say, oh, we keep, you know, we're only responsible for the ten, the moral law. Well, how the heck are you only responsible for the ten when you don't even keep the fourth one? To honor his Sabbath day and to keep it holy. We only, you know, just hemming and hawing, making up stuff. Now remember, he says he was going to give this new covenant to Israel. Go to Romans chapter 11. The book of Romans chapter 11. So that I can make sure that the Gentile nations know how they are coming in and why they are coming in. Chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Because the Gentiles have to also understand that they have to accept the contract. They have to accept the new covenant. And the new covenant is the old covenant that he had with the house of Israel with a few modifications. Not deletions of his entire law, and a new law written for the Gentiles. I'm giving this new covenant to the house of Israel. Now I'm going to graft in the Gentiles into this new covenant that I'm giving to the house of Israel. Israel is required to keep the statutes, laws, commandments, the ordinances of the Most High. And the only thing the Most High is saying with the Gentiles is, I'm not requiring you to know all of these commandments, not all 600 and whatever of them coming in, but I expect for you to learn them and to do them because they're a part of the contract, not just with Israel, but with all mankind. Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 1. I say then, hath Elohim cast away his people? Elohim forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Elohim has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know you not that the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to Elohim against Israel, saying, Yah, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars. They knock down your altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Elohim unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. You think it's bad? I always have a remnant. Who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. They haven't worshipped another god. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. So the Most High says, you are saved by my grace and not by your works. Now, once you are saved, you need to keep my commandments. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So there's always been a remnant that of Israel that will reserve. And the rest were blinded. According as it is written, Elohim has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a stumbling block, a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Why? Because you don't get to do to the Most High what our forefathers did to him. You don't enter into a relationship with the Elohim of creation and then be disobedient and expect that you are not going to get punished for it. So he says, let their table be made a snare, a trap, a stumbling block, a repayment unto them. Why? For their treatment of the Most High. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Want to know why we're in a condition of slavery? For how we treated the Most High. It's just that simple. He says, so this new contract, I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind, that you might do them, not be disobedient. I say then, have they stumbled? I say then, have they, Israel, and I'm gonna translate these seasoned days so we really don't get caught up in them. I say then, have they, Israel, stumbled, that they, Israel, should fail? Elohim forbid. But rather, through Israel's fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. For to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. See, the Most High said that we made him jealous by serving false gods. He says, and you went a-whoring after other gods. A-whoring after other gods. He says, now, I'm going to use the Gentile nations to provoke you to jealousy, Israel. Now, if the fall of Israel be the riches of the world, the diminishing of Israel, and the diminishing of Israel, the riches of the Gentiles, because to receive salvation of the Most High, you receive a great gift. You can receive the greatest gift that anybody could ever receive. How much more Israel's fullness, when we're doing what we're supposed to do, he says, how much more do you think the world's going to receive when my people are in their right place, when they're setting the right example, when they're obeying me and not teaching the nations to profane my name through disobedience? That's why it's important that we obey the Most High so that we don't cause the Gentile nations to profane his name, to think that it's okay to sin against them. They ain't got to keep the laws. They're using that as an excuse not to keep the laws. Because of what we did. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation Israel, which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. He didn't say all of them, because Paul knows all of us ain't going to be saved. All of us are not going to repent out his punishment on the rebellious ones. For if the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of Israel be? What shall the receiving of Israel be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, he didn't say all of the branches were broke off. Remember, he kept a remnant. But he said some of the branches were broken off. And thou being a wild olive tree, talking to the Gentiles, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou Gentile, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them Israel, the broken off branches, and with Israel partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. So I'm going to graft you in Israel. And into Israel's salvation. And into Israel's marriage to the Most High. I'm going to graft you into this because I'm going to be a husband. Boast not against the branches. But if you, Gentiles, boast, thou bearest not the root. If you're coming in and you're coming in by faith and you're going to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments by faith, which Israel never did, then then thou bearest not the root, but the root beareth thee. Thou will say then, the branches were broken off. This is what the Gentiles are supposed to be saying. The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Most I said, I'm putting away some of my people, the rebellious ones, and I'm going to graft in the Gentiles that obey my voice, keep my commandments, that repent of their ways. Well, because of unbelief, Israel was broken off. And you, Gentiles, stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Oh, wait a minute. No, most I don't want the Gentiles to fear him. He only wants Israel to fear him. Fear him. They need to fear. Why? For if Elohim spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not you, Gentiles. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of Elohim, the goodness of Elohim and the severity of Elohim. On Israel, which fell, severity. He broke them off. They fell. They didn't do what he said to do. He broke them off. But toward you, Gentiles, goodness. Why? If you continue in his Messiah's goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. So think about that. Israel didn't keep the commandments, didn't keep the laws, the statutes, the ordinances, the judgments. They created their own. He's telling the Gentiles, I'm going to graft you in. And if you don't continue in my goodness, and if you don't do what my people wouldn't do, obey me, then you're going to be cut off too. So you should fear. Don't be talking about the natural branches and then you don't do any better. You're being grafted in to this marriage contract. And then don't obey. He says, then I'm going to cut you off too. And they also, and they Israel, also, if they Israel abide not, still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Grafted in. Why? For Elohim is able to graft Israel in again. I broke them off. I divorced them. But I came and died that I might end that relationship, and now I'm able to take them back in again if they don't still abide in unbelief. You Gentiles were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to the nature into a good olive tree. How much more shall these, which are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So, you know, you will hear that, you know, everything we see, the Gentile nations don't want to be anything like Israel. They don't want to be up under the laws of Israel. They want to serve the same Elohim, but they don't want to serve him by his commandments. They don't want to serve him by their laws. They don't want to serve him by his statutes. We want to keep the laws of our land and still serve you. Well, when the laws of your land are contrary to my laws, can't obey your laws. Matter of fact, you should get rid of them. So they are the wild olive tree, and they're being grafted into Messiah and Israel. And then Mosiah said, if the natural branches can be grafted back in and should be able to be grafted back in easier, because this is the tree that they were broken off from. So it should fit back in easier than it is for the unnatural branch. So he's going to include the Gentiles in the body as part of the bride, as part of who he's saving. Let them have part of the contract. Okay? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. At least you should be wise in your own conceit. This is what I think. If you ain't saying what the Most High is saying, you are conceited. Don't know it. Come up with your own understanding, your own opinion, rather than letting him give it, rather than getting it from his word. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So all Israel shall be saved, as is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So he says, I'm going to come and I'm going to gather Israel again, and I'm going to take away their sin. But they got to believe. They got to walk in faith. They got to accept him as the Messiah. They got to do it through faith in his name. It's going to be in the future, at the end of the times of the Gentiles. Israel will wake up, and the Most High is waking Israel up and telling Israel, you got to come back and keep my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, and my judgments. And you got to point the way for the Gentiles, because they have lost their way. A gospel that I did not say. They are presenting a contract that I did not offer. They are changing the rules and the conditions in the contract. So we got to understand that even the Gentile nations, that when they come and they hear about the contract, that they accept the contract as written, because the Most High, you won't find anywhere in here where the Most High said, I'm going to negotiate with you. What I'm offering you, for you to become my bride, for you to come into right relationship with me. I want you to repent. I want you to have faith in Messiah. I want you to repent. I want you to be baptized. I want you to love me and love your brother. I want you to be filled with my spirit. I want you to become mine. So as the Most High is presenting the rules of the contract, Messiah goes and pays the dowry price, the price for the bride, with his own blood. You are purchased with a price. You are not your own. You say you enter into this contract. This contract is a blood contract. And if you break the contract, it's going to require your life for eternity. So you either all in or don't come in. It don't matter. The end result is the same for all those who want in or don't. It's too late. A fire. So when the churches are teaching people to repent and confess their sins, they need to be telling them and showing them what contract are you entering into? What does the contract actually state? What does it require? I'm going to write my laws. I'm not writing any new laws. a new law that he says that he gives, that you love one another. It's not a new law, but it's reiterated. What are the conditions that he gives us? He says that we have to forgive. He forgives our sins. That he's going to give us eternal life, and that we are to receive the gift of his Spirit, and that we are to start to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Most High promises his bride, I'm going to give you salvation and eternal life. I'm going to save you from me. From me. That's what salvation is. It's being saved from the wrath of the Most High. That's what that means. Salvation. Saved from your sins. Because if you die in your sins, you're not dying on the good side of the Most High. He says, okay, you entered into a contract with me, and you didn't obey the contract. You made yourself my enemy. You made yourself my adversary. And if we say we're in relationship with him, then he says, oh, you've been a disobedient wife. And then if we come up with our own traditions, our own commandments, our own doctrines that oversee his, our own judgments that overrule his, he said, we have usurped his authority. We have tried to dominate him by imposing our will upon him. Usurped his authority in our lives. So we got to understand that we have to be obedient to him. He promised us that he will love and care for us. That he will guide and teach us. But these are things that are in the contract. And let's get verse 25 through 27. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, this is an instruction to husbands, but he's telling, I loved you so much that I gave my life for you. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I'm going to scrub my bride clean by my word, by my laws, my statutes, my commandments, my ordinances, my judgments. I'm going to write them in her heart and in her mind that she might do them and be a faithful wife. You know, if she don't know, she don't know. But when I write it in her heart and in her mind, there's no way she can't say she don't know. I'm going to guide and teach her. Let's go to John chapter 14. The book of John chapter 14. And the word of the Most High reads, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now this is through the ages. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is supposed to teach us and bring all things into our remembrance, whatsoever was said. Look at John chapter 16. And verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, Spirit of truth is the Comforter, it's the Spirit of the Most High. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So remember, Messiah speaking in parabolic form here. It was not meant for everybody to understand it. But I'm going to teach you in all things. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to remind you. It's going to give us peace and comfort. John chapter 14. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He gives us a surety that what we believe on, if we believe in him and if we do what he says to do, we're going to be at peace with him. We're going to have salvation. We'll be saved from the wrath of the Most High, the wrath to come. We'll receive eternal life in the kingdom, not in the lake. He will provide for us. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Book of Matthew chapter 6. Okay, verses 31 through 33. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You're going to come into a relationship with me? I got to be first. Seek my kingdom first and my righteousness first. And all these other things I'll add unto you. But if you're not going to put me first, I'm not going to put you first. You an inheritance. Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. I'm going to do these things for you, but what I want from you is your obedience. I want you to not transgress against me and break my laws. Romans chapter 8. Same. Because there's some things in here I know that are commonly mistaught by a lot of churches. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation if you're walking after the Spirit. Why? Because you won't. If you're walking after the Spirit, you're not going to sin. If you're following what the Spirit of God says, you're not going to sin. He won't let you sin like that. He'll convict you to do the right thing. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin says that if you sin, you die. That's the law of sin and death. But what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law. You want to be right, keep the law. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is hatred against Elohim. Your natural mind, what you think should be right, because from the position of brotherly love that Most High didn't describe, but you place brotherly love over godly love, and then you'll think that, oh, these things are what are right. That's the carnal mind, Elohim. For it is not subject to the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. How? If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, this is not two different spirits. It's the self-same Spirit, the Spirit of the Most High. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ are one in the self-same Spirit. He is none of his. And so you got to realize that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the Most High in the flesh. That one Spirit, the Spirit that was in Christ, is the self-same Spirit that created the heavens and the earth. It's the Spirit of the Most High that was poured out on people. So he says, if the Spirit of God is not in you, you are none of his. If the Spirit of Christ is not in you, still the self-same Spirit, you are none of his. The self, the same being. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, keeping his law. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, then it says, if this same Spirit that raised up Messiah from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Messiah from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. How? By his Spirit that dwells in you. If you're not filled with the Spirit of the Most High, how is he going to resurrect you? How is he going to give you life? He says, because I'm going to give life to those who my Spirit is in. So if you're trying to do this thing of your own and I haven't chosen you, then you're going through the motions. Trying to be good, but I haven't chosen you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, they are the sons of Elohim. When you become a child of the Most High, part of the bride, then you got to be filled by his Spirit. His bride has to have the same Spirit as he has. Okay? For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. Children, then heirs. Heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with Messiah. If so be that we suffer with him. Messiah suffered unto death. If you're not willing to suffer with him, you're not willing to inherit with him. You're not willing to be an heir with him. Because he said, you got to suffer with him. That we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the suffering you're going through cannot be compared with the glory that you're going to receive. So you got to be willing to suffer with it. So let's, what time is it? 6:50. Just stop here for tonight. These are some of the conditions of the contract. Obey my voice. I have paid the bride price for you. I paid the dowry with my own life. And you were purchased with a price. You are bought by his blood. You are purchased with a price. You are bought by his blood. You are not your own. If you enter into this contract, you don't belong to you. And you have to know that. So you have to be obedient. So one other place. And let's go to the Last Supper. And let me get the verses that I want to use. The book of Matthew, chapter 26. And let's get verses 17 through 30. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Yeshua, saying unto him, where wilt thou prepare for thee to eat the Passover? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is Passover. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master said, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Yeshua had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began each, every one of them to say, Lord or Master, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes, and is as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Yeshua took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave them thanks, and gave it to them. Drink you all of it. Now this is cup of the wine of the New Testament, and this is actually the proposal for the church, for them to become his bride, to enter into this covenant. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, now I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine. So what the husband would do is come and make his proposal to the bride, and he would hand her this cup of wine. And as I said, if she refused to take the cup, then she did not enter into this covenant with him. If she takes the cup and drinks from it, then she is entering into this covenant relation, this covenant marriage with him. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine. When? Until the day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, that's also a clue to us. Okay, because when is he going to come back? And when is he going to get married? When he drinks with his church and his bride in the Father's kingdom. When is the marriage going to take place? It's not going to take place at the beginning of the millennial reign. It's going to take place after the 1,000 years kingdom. So the marriage didn't happen when Messiah returns, because he's returning to clean up the earth, to clean up the Father's house. And then we'll look at this at another time. He's going to bring the new Jerusalem, his add-on to the Father's house. The room that he's going to bring is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high. The new Jerusalem is going to come down to the earth. That's his addition to the earth. That's the room that he's preparing for his bride. And so we'll look at this another time. But that does not happen until after the 1,000-year reign. The 1,000 years of training the bride. thousand years of seeing who's going to be loyal. Going to be up under his reign and going to rebel. Then you're going to find the marriage taking place. So a lot of people think that they're going to be resurrected, taken into heaven for 7 years. And that 7 years is going to be, you know, the wedding feast. No, because the Most High said that he's going to give power over Satan to even to kill the very elect. He's going to have power to kill the saints. If he has the power to kill the saints and he's killing the saints, then how can they be in the wedding feast? You know, so I have to make sure, but there's things that they are teaching that are just out of order. Are there any questions on what was taught tonight? Any comments, any concerns?
I don't have any questions. I just said amen.
All right, amen. Anyone else? And I'll open up the mic. Sister LaGrace, do you have any questions? Okay, I'm going to mute her so we don't get an echo. All right, so if there are no questions, then may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints, for this is the whole duty of man. We'll continue and finish up on this contract. Maybe on next Sunday night, I still want to look into some things. And then we're going to look at the watch and the wait while the bride, you know, while Messiah is away preparing the house, what the bride is supposed to be doing. We're going to look and see what happens when he comes back to pick up his bride. We're going to look at who's invited to the wedding feast. And then we're going to look at who was cut off from it. We're going to look at when it takes place. Because all those things are in the scripture. All right, with that being said, enjoy the rest of your Sabbath or the rest of this evening. Shalom, saints, and may Yah bless you all. Fear the Most High and keep his commandments.
With the water baptized, get dumped. I feel with the water. Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom.
Peace and blessings.